Get started.
Be cool to listen on the
tape. Yes, everybody's welcome to listen to this on the recording as it begins now. What I thought for this week is, for those of you who won't be listening on the tape and won't be hearing this, I didn't want you to fall too far behind, God forbid. So I decided to pull out a little sugya that actually technically is referenced on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, just one daf ahead of where we are. It talks about the Gemara there discusses Rav Malchia and Rav Malchio. Okay, you may notice it there in the Amud. And it talks about, which we're going to see a copy of the Gemara in the first source in Makos, so you don't really need your Gemara so much for this. But you'll see, you know, one of the cases brought down is Rav Malchia's discussion of Efer Makla. Okay, you'll notice that they're on the Amud just briefly, but we'll jump right to source number one, which is, now, what is the case of Efer Makla? Anybody know what Efer is in general? Efer Makla is some sort of burnt ashes.
Right.
Okay, that's Efer Makla. And you used to put it on their wounds. Excellent. So the question that we're going to explore today, tied into this sugya a little bit, was an interesting news story that I saw, and I did bring this up at my last night's headlines here, but I didn't really go into the depth that we're going to go in here, otherwise I would lose most of the people that come, not only just this week, but for all weeks.
You came to visit you.
Yes, that's true, you were there at the end. We had a very gracious visit from the board and other concerned by it members.
Concerned?
Yes, who decided to check out the state of the bookshelves in the rabbi's classroom. Okay, I think I can cut out the first 2 minutes of this recording.
Yes,
but
well.
At least the people listening will laugh. So, anyways, this is relevant for the following reason. There was a nice little feature on the news about a woman from Toronto who is a tattoo parlor, tattoo artist, there we go, who decided to go to India to help people out. There are a number of people there who have been subject to acid attacks and all sorts of other terrible things. And what can happen is their faces or sometimes other parts of their body can get really eaten away at a little bit to the point that their skin looks awful. And the pigmentation is really not visible. It's, you know, especially for dark-skinned people, they can be very, very white. Where they were hit with the acid, and it's really something that not only, is it bad enough on its own that you're subject to an acid attack and you have to deal with everything that comes with that, but the lasting effects of having the skin damage are very, very emotionally crippling and psychologically crippling, and most because they are socially crippling. People there will, you know, not look at you if you have an acid burn because, you're messed up. And, you know, the way we think of it is maybe, your kids won't get shiduchim, but that's really the way it is. These people are, left out from much of what society does because they're considered burdens by their families, all sorts of terrible things that they mentioned in this feature. And what this tattoo artist does to repair it is she basically tattoos in color where they are lacking color. And that way it doesn't look so bad, it looks, passable, and they can resume their regular social lives, and everything's okay, and, they talked about how many hundreds and thousands of people are waiting for this, and, all the things that it does. And
thousands of people?
Hundreds and thousands. Not hundreds of thousands. Not hundred thousands.
It's concerning me on the acid attacks.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good stock to buy.
Definitely good stock to buy. No, hundreds and thousands, not hundreds of thousands. So it made me wonder, although it's probably not as applicable to a non-Jew, although that, needs some discussion as well, as we will see, if this were to be a Jew who had something like this happen to them, what would be the halacha? Would they be able to go for such a treatment in relation to the halachos of ksov eskaka, tattooing? So that's sort of here what we're supposed to explore, and the main sugya related to it, we hope, is going to be that of Efer Makla, which we'll see in the Gemara here in Makos. So if you look at source number one, Hakosiv ksov es kaka, kasav lo kaka, kaka velo kasav, eno chayavat sheyichtov v'yikakea, and that should probably say bidyo, uvichol uvchol davar shu roshim. So if you, again, write some sort of tattoo, you make a tattoo, and if you either wrote but did not cut, that's we're going to assume that the kuf ayin word means here, kaka, we're going to assume means to cut or slice or make some sort of incision. So if you just wrote but you didn't make some sort of incision, or you just made the cut but you didn't fill it in with any ink, You're not going to be chayiv. You need to do both. Okay, in what order? That's something we're not really going to discuss. There is somewhat of a discussion, but we come out in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't matter what order you go in. You can do the cutting first and then the writing. You can do the writing first and then the cutting. You're still going to be chayiv. Okay, and it has to be b'dyo, b'chol, u'v'chol davar shehu roshem, anything that will make a lasting impression. This is the opinion of the Chachamim, of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, says, Eino chayiv ad sheyichtov shames Hashem. You're not chayiv until you write a name. A name of what? We're going to see in the Gemara. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Uchsoves ka'aka lo sitnu vachem ani Hashem. A tattoo you shall not place within you, I am Hashem. So, the Gemara right away jumps in to try to figure out what does this mean. Amar le Rav Acha, Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, said to Rav Ashi, one second, Adi Yichtov Ani Hashem Mamesh? Was he really reading the Pasuk? Uksoves ka'aka lo sitnu bachem Ani Hashem? That a tattoo of Ani Hashem you cannot place on yourselves? Is that really what he meant? So Amar le lo. He said, that's not at all what he's saying. Kedetani Bar Kapara, as Bar Kapara explained, Eino chayev ad sheyichtov shem avodas kochavim. How do you read the pasuk, says Bar Kapara? It's going to be understood, shenemar, uchsoves ka'aka lo sitnu vachem ani Hashem velo acher. Rabbi Shimon reads the pasuk, says Bar Kapara, very simply, don't give yourself some sort of tattoo of another god, because I am God. Okay, and this was something related to Avodah Zarah. So therefore, you're only chayev if you write the name of an Avodas Kochavim on your body, tattoo the name of the idol into your body. So this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and here the Gemara ends with that. Now, we get back to the shared sugya with our Gemara here in Beitza, and says the Gemara, Amar of Malchia, Amar of Adabar Hava. And Rav Malchia says in the name of Adabar Hava, Asur lo la'adam sheyitin efer makle al gabei makaso. It is prohibited, says Rav Malchia, for a person to even place these ashes, on top of his wound, mipnei sheniris kiksoves kaka, because it appears like iksoves kaka. Okay, this is quoted in Rashi on our sugya here when talking about Efer Makle. Now, what is he saying? That he says you can't put burnt ashes because it seems like iksoves kaka. How would you explain that? First of all, are we dealing with the Doraisa concern or the Rabbanan concern? If it's near is kiksoves kaka.
Rabbanan.
I would say Rabbanan. We're going to see that that's, you know, pretty much the sheet of the Rishonim completely. Okay, why might it be Rabbanan just from the very limited knowledge that we have about tattooing? Which we will see this anyways, later.
Has to be a cut, no?
Has to be a cut. Okay? And we'll see that there is what to argue about the cutting part, but right now, if I'm reading the Gemara and I see the words Mishaniris Ksavas Kaka, I'm going to learn it like the Ritzvah, I'm going to learn it like the Meiri, as we're going to see. Okay? The next part of the Gemara, the next two lines, is really, again, just a copy of We Have, and honestly, doesn't relate to the Sugya at all. It's simply trying to ascertain which individual said these halachos. We have, because we have someone named Rav Malchia and someone named Rav Malchio. So you can really skip down the next two lines, but if you skip to the second last line, Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, so Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, kapit afilu arivda dikusilta. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, he was makbid in terms of this halacha of Rav Malchia, that even by his bloodletting wound, he would not put on any of these ashes. Okay, and he followed this halacha. On the other hand, Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi makes it a broad statement, kol makom sheyesh sham maka, any place where there is some sort of wound, makaso mochiach alav. The wound proves it for him. Who, what, when, where, how? So the simple understanding of this word to be, as we're going to see in the Ritva. So first of all, the Ritva notes in his first, in source number two, Amar of Malchia Asar L'Adam Sheyitin Efer Makla Agabe Makaso.
Just backing up the Gemara for one second, just so I understand. The concept of writing a name is not how we hold it. It's obviously by just
That's what we're getting to now. I put the Ritva here almost as like our Rashi for the sugya because he makes a couple of the comments that are exactly related to the crucial halachic takeaways here.
Okay.
So rule number one, Rav Malchia's statement that it's aser to put Efer Makle on your wound because it seems like Sofas Kaka, says the Ritva, as we did, perish Isura Dirabanan. You're dealing with an Isura Dirabanan. What type of Isra Drabanan? Why Isra Drabanan? That's going to be a lot of what we're going to be exploring the rest of the Shir. Now here, getting back to your question, Rav Ashi Omer, kol makom sheyesh shamaka, makasa mochiach alav. what is Rav Ashi saying? La'afuke midi Rav Malchia al nirav bibi. Meaning, we left this open. We said, what does he mean when he says, any place that there is a wound, your wound proves it? Proves what? So he says Rav Ashi is coming to argue on Rav Malchia and Rav Bibi. Rav Malchia said that it's prohibited to put on Efer Makla. Rav Bibi Barabaye was makbid to make sure to never put it on his wounds, even after his bloodletting wounds. And Rav Ashi is coming to say, guys, you're wrong. Right? And in fact, he says, V'elchazaka Rav Ashi. Says Rav Ashi, any place on your body that you have a wound, if someone sees you putting ashes on your wound, you don't have to worry that they're going to think you're tattooing. Why? They see there's a big gash there. There's a big, you know, you have a scrape. So therefore, don't worry about the Efer Makla. It's not a concern.
What about afterwards, though?
So that's a good question. It's something we're going to address a little bit in the next source. We're going to bring it up. The assumption is that Efer Makla does, in fact, leave some sort of mark. But I'm not sure. I mean, it would leave a mark in a scar. That's what we'd be talking about. I don't want to give you too many examples.
The whole thing of Kaka, what we're worried about, is it related to Avodah Zarah? That in reality,
this is exactly what this year is about. You guys are bang on today. We're trying to figure out, really, what the concern of, you know, putting Efer Makla is on a wound is, and why that's permitted lahalacha, which we say, V'hilchasaka Rav Ashi, which is the next line in the Ritva. And as part of that, we're going to say, what's the concern of Ksovas Kaka in general? And again, how does that relate to Efer Makla? We're going to see something very interesting about Avodah Zarah and the Shach in source number 8, but we're not there yet. Now, the Ritva paskins like Rav Ashi, and he says, V'nirin devarim, shekol ha-mimros halalu, lo nemru ela l'rabanan. He says, this that we're saying at the end, right? Rav Malchia, Rav Ashi, Rav Bibi Barabaye, can that possibly be going according to Rav Shimon? Of course not. Rav Shimon says, you're only chayev when you write the name of an Avodah Zarah. That means there's zero concern whatsoever when it comes to a wound that you might have, even if it will leave the lasting mark. Rav Shimon would say, go and tattoo yourself with a picture of a, I don't know, whatever you want, provided that it's not an Avodah Zarah. So therefore, he says, this is all said only according to the sheet of the Rabbanan. Dilu Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, ein lasser davar mikol seh. There's nothing to asr here. Afilu midi Rabbanan. There's not even an isr Rabbanan. Why? Kemachia Torah lo asra ala shem shel avodah selilim. Since the Torah only prohibited one to tattoo on the name of an avodah zara. Umina sham inan. And from the fact that the Gemara is focusing only on whose shita? The Rabbanan's. From that we see, dehel chasaki Rabbanan. The halacha follows the Rabbanan in the Mishnah. Dechol hasugya kavasayhu. Since you're looking at the Gemara, all of the halachic queries of the Gemara are related to whom? The Rabbanan. Ki mishnas bar kapar.
Structurally in Gemara, epistemologically, sometimes you can have sugyas and you go on and on for the, not depending, we don't paskin. So what's this different... what he's saying, right?
He addresses that issue in a little bit, okay. Not fully. The assumption of many Rishonim in many places is to say that when we're unsure about who to paskin, the Gemara is trying to figure out details within one shita,
right.
And those are details that seem to be a maskana of the Gemara, certainly, meaning not a hava mina of the Gemara, right. But a maskana, then we're more likely to say that the halacha is like them. It's a sfarah that I've seen brought up in a number of places. I can't give you exact examples.
Okay, fine.
But he does bring something else to talk about, which is an alternate reason to rule like the Chachamim. Okay? Ki mishnas bar kapar ledivar Rav Shimon bilachudhi. Tanya lefarish divarav. And he says, that which bar kapara said about Rav Shimon, meaning we quoted bar kapara, if you look back at the beginning of the Gemara, right? Enochai vachichto shem avoras kochavim. He's saying, that which we brought, that was only to explain what he meant, meaning the Mishnah was very close, the Mishnah was hard to understand. So Bar Kapara, and the first part of the Gemara, was simply to explain what was his Shita. Did he literally mean he had to write any Hashem? No, he meant writing the name of any Avodah Zarah. But otherwise, you know, that's what's coming. Rav Acha Nami Bir Divrei Rav Shimon. Rav Acha was also just explaining it, who Dabai. V'lo Mishum Dehel Chazak HaVasein was not because the Halacha is like him. V'ein Lidchos Bekach Klala Deyachid V'rabim Halacha Karabim. And here's his big source, which is to say, in general, we have Tanakama and we have Rabbi Shimon. You know, it seems to be that the rest of the Chachamim, the rest of the Tanaim, seem to follow the first opinion. So, you know, just because you have the Gemara opening by saying, here is the explanation of Rav Shimon's Shita, is not a reason to push aside this accepted rule. Okay? Kol shekein kishas sugya machras k'rabanan. Certainly, as he said before, when the sugya sounds like it's coming out l'halacha following the Rabbanan. Aval harif zal, but the rif pasak halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. He paskin halacha like Rabbi Shimon, v'tam devar, mishum devar kaparo de ravacha. And his reason was because those two, the Gemara opens with the explanation of his shita, v'lo nihira, and he says, I don't like it. Okay. So far, these are just some, again, general rules to keep in mind. What can we take away from the Gemara for a little summary? So, number one, Ksovas Kaka is aser according to Chachamim, when you cut and you leave in some sort of ink, and according to Rabbi Shimon, when you write the name of an Avodah Zarah. Rav Malchia and Rav Ada Barahava and Rav Bibi Barabaye seem to be concerned in a case of putting Efer Makla on a Maka, where you're putting, again, something that's going to leave a mark on top of a wound. And Rav Ashi comes out and says, there's no problem, Makasa Mochiach Alav. We said the Ksovas Kaka was an Isser Durabanan. Why was it that we suggested that it may be an Isser Durabanan? From what we said, there was no cut.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
If Efer Makla is some type of refuah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why would it be awesome? Maybe it's you know, if it's Avodah Zarah, then if it's a Kanas Nefesh that takes over the Avodah Zarah, mm-hmm. right? But what's the concern? Is it just a
Well, one second. The Torah says, "Ksovas Kaka losit nuvachem." We're assuming you're not supposed to have any lasting marks,
even if for refuah.
Well, it depends what refuah is. I mean, it's probably not necessary for him to do this in order for him to get better. He's not going to die. But
maybe, I don't know.
You know,
if it's like just like an ointment or something like that, I understand. But
I mean, that's basically what it is. It's an ointment that's going to leave a mark forever.
Okay.
So the other issue regarding this, just thinking about it, if it's a gash, the concern may be that it actually looks like he's making a tattoo. Because you have a gash, which is the etching, which is Aser Daraita, with what he's adding to it. So the question then becomes, does he have to etch, does he need Kavana for each part to make it an actual tattoo?
So we'll talk about the Kavana at the end, actually. I wouldn't have thought that Kavana mattered, according to the Rabbana, but we will talk about it. Okay. We will talk about it. It's
so
in the last source.
It could basically be a tattoo, if it's a gash, as you've said it before.
Excellent. So let's look exactly at the Meiri. Mishi Yeshlo, in source number 3, Makabiv Saro, if someone has a wound in his flesh, Mutar lo liten efer makla al makaso, it is permitted to put it on that. Ve'af al pi sheyesh kan chashash maris ha'ayin. Very good. Even though there's a concern of maris ha'ayin, mipnei shu domim me'at l'ksovas kaka. It's similar to a ksovas kaka. What would you say? Is this talking about now or later?
What do you mean by
now or later?
Meaning, is it that someone who sees him putting on some dark-colored stuff in a wound is going to think he is tattooing himself? Or is it that in 10 years from now, when he's got a little black patch on his shoulder, people are going to look at that and say, did you get a tattoo?
Yeah, I would think later.
Interesting. Any dissenting?
Well, it says Maris Ayin, so it has to be someone.
Maris Ayin does sound like now.
Now, right.
That's the way I read it. I think it'll be easier to explain the Gemara that way. How would you understand the words makaso mochiach alav? The fact that he has a wound proves it. Proves what? So you could say if it looks like a scar, then it's probably not a tattoo. And that could be to defend what you're saying. And that may be what he's saying. To me, I would say if someone sees that it's a wound, meaning when you're getting a tattoo done, you make a little scratch, you know, or especially now we do with needles, tiniest, tiniest, tiniest of wounds. You know, nobody's having something that's gushing blood all over. That's happening. And says the Meiri, just to, you know, keep us in line, that it's a chashash of maris ayin. That's going to be the concern here. Really, in terms of hilchos, you know, tattoo, there may not be anything wrong with it, as you were suggesting. Rather, it may look like you're making a tattoo. Okay, and this is something to keep in mind. Ho'il v'yesham maka, and he says, since there is a large wound there, makasa muchachas alav, shari hakol ro'in shemaka bedofen. He says, the maka proves it. Why? Everybody can see that there's a maka there. Okay, so therefore, he says, it's not a concern of Maris Ayin, and that's why it's permitted.
Okay, but based on this, Meiri's not holding like Rabbi Shimon, and he's holding like Rabbanan.
Right. Yeah, and the Ritva said, and as we're going to see Rambam in a minute, then Beis Yosef, then the Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but there are certain elements of Rabbi Shimon that are going to creep in to the mainstream halacha, which is going to make it somewhat concerning in certain cases where we wouldn't otherwise be concerned. Perfect. So that's a Meiri. So we have the Meiri saying it's Maris Ayin. We have, you know, the Ritva saying it's an Issur Darabanan, which we didn't quite understand. It could be he would be saying that it's a Maris Ayin type situation, like the Meiri. It could also be that he would just be saying it's a regular Issur Darabanan of Ksoves Kaka. Meaning, you're right, you didn't have, you know, where you actually scratched the wound, but you are putting some, you know, again, material that will leave a mark forever into an open wound. It could be that he would hold it's an actual Issur Darabanan of Ksoves Kaka, which is permitted for some reason because of the Maka, maybe because of Rafua. It's hard to understand how he might learn it. Most likely, the simplest reading is certainly that, like that of the Meiri. Now, the Rambam has a very, very strange formulation of this for two reasons. Number one is because he omits half the halachos that all the other Rishonim bring. So that's one reason. Most notably, he's going to omit Efer Makle. And number two, he says a lot of things about Avodah Zarah. So let's see what he has to say. By the way, if any of you wish to read, I'm always more than happy to take a drink. And
what we like, the way you read.
Okay. Oyvei. Ksoves kaka hamura b'torah. The ksoves kaka, which is prohibited biblically, hushi yistrot al bisaro, is when one will make a scratch on his skin. V'yimali mekom hasrita, chol odio, oshar tivonim haroshmim, and they'll fill this, again, scratch or cut that they've made with some sort of coloring. V'zeh hayamin haga'akum. And this is what the non-Jews would do. Sherosh min atzman la'avodas kochavim. They would actually mark themselves for their avodas kochavim. What does this mean? Klomar. Shehu eved machur la umursham la'avodasa. As if he's a slave that's, you know, sold to this avodah zarah, and he's marked, you know, as part of the cult. Really, some people say they even wrote the name of the avodah zarah, meaning like that's the owner almost. In terms of understanding this, who may eis sheyirshom. And says the Rambam, from the moment that you write be'achad mehadvarim haroshmim, with anything that leaves, you know, some sort of print, which is a quote of the Mishnah, achar sheyisrot be'ezem makom min haguf, after you scratch first, and here is where a lot of this discussion happens, bein ish bein isha loka, men, women, you know, they will all get malchus. That is what the Torah prohibits.
So he paskins like the Rabbanan.
So he paskins like the Rabbanan, but brings in this whole Ovid Kochavim. What's going on with that?
Right.
Okay? And in fact, kasa velo rasham bitseva, okay, if you wrote it but you didn't, you know, you didn't fill it in with color, meaning you cut it. Osher rasham bitseva velo kasa bisrita, again, you didn't cut it, you know, you wrote in the color but you did not cut it, or you cut it but did not write in color.
Does this mean temporary? A temporary tattoo?
So, potentially, that's a big halachic discussion which right. We don't get into. I omitted the sources on that, but this may be relevant to that. This may be relevant to that, yes.
So any coloring of the skin? Permanent.
No.
If you did the etching and don't color, you still made it permanent.
No, I'm asking if he colors and doesn't etch. He's saying here, if you color, right?
Right. I mean, we're talking about something, you know, that'll still be still lasting. We're not talking about someone, you know, forgot their phone number and they're writing on their hand for a moment, you know, and it's going to wipe off in 5 minutes. But there is a long discussion to be had about temporary tattoos. You know, these are probably not things that are going to last forever. So patar achi yichtov yikakeya shenemar uchsoves ka'aka. There has to be a ksiva and there has to be a ka'akua. Bamet varim amurim bekosev. When are we, what are we talking about? Until now, the person who writes it, aval zeh shekasvu bivsaro v'ka'akuvo eino chayev elam kein siyeya kidei sheyase ma'aseh. But the person who had the tattoo given to him or her, they are only chayev if they helped out in some way. Okay, kidei sheyase ma'aseh, in order to help the other person. Is paying counting for this? Does paying count for this? I don't know. I would doubt it.
Well, he gives his hand like this.
Okay.
It's like,
you know, I mean, you don't have to fighting against it.
You have the same din and payas, right?
Yes,
if you
this is exactly. Yeah, right. So, yeah, that would be sort of akin to that. Avalim lo asa klum in a loka. If you're just standing there and the guy comes over to you, you know, if you're sleeping and the guy, someone comes over to you as a prank and tattoos you, I mean, I'm sure you'd wake up if it was a real tattoo.
When he says kasu, he means
scratch.
Anything, scratching, or kasu means letters, or it could be pictures, or what?
Next, or you're all over the place. You're bang on tonight. We're going to talk about that in the Pesachei Tshuva in source number 9.
Okay.
So he talks about this. Now, Kosev, in the Rambam here, especially in the second part, he calls it Kasa Visrita. That's what he considers Ksiva, but in the rest of it, he sometimes means Ksiva in general. Okay. We'll just see basically two points. Machlokes Beis Yosef and Menchas Chinuch about what do you do when the Rambam omits something. This is a bit of a problematic issue here. First of all, the Beis Yosef will note that in terms of Mutar Litein Efer Kira Al Makaso, which he's quoting from the Tur, and he says, you know, it's permitted. Plug to Damarai Biparak Basra de Makos. By the way, there's another reason to paskin like Ravashi is because he's the latest one in the discussion, right? We paskin like the later opinion usually when we can, especially in the Gemara. So if we have Ravashi saying it's mutter, it's mutter. Okay, and he brings the Tosfos, he brings the Rush, and he brings another sugya, which we don't need to talk about. And if you skip down to the second last line, the line beginning with Viharambam. Viharambam lo hiskir din zeh b'sof el chos avodah zarah. The Rambam didn't mention this at all. Umashma desfira le dalacha keman deshari. Said he's therefore he must hold like Ravashi. You know why? Di hava savar dehilchasa keman daasar. If he would have held like Rav Malchia, lo hava shasik mine. He would have mentioned it. Meaning, what would you think if you didn't have anything? If you just read the Rambam, would you say the Rambam would allow you to place Efer Kira al Makasa or not? Says the Beis Yosef. He didn't say it's asar, so it's mutter. However, if you look at the Menchas Chinuch, who comes out that it is in fact permitted, even according to the Rambam, but in his stage of thinking, he says, "Umikol makom tzarchiun de'adaraba midasasam nired de'ain heter."
Why does he say that?
So my assumption is, and what I would assume is that when he reads the Rambam, he would say, "Listen, you're putting a davar shiroshim me'esh shiyirshon be'echad midvarim haroshmin achar shiyisrot." It at least sounds from the Rambam in the simplest way of looking at things. That what's the issue here? It's a real issue of some Durabanan version of Ksovas Kaka. Right? He says, you have it cut open, you're putting something on it that's permanent, right? And even at the end, right? Kasva Bibsaro.
Wouldn't you think the Rambam, a Mefarish Gemara, would quote it? And like it's
correct, that's what's so shocking about it, because it's such a heavy machlokes.
Right.
And, you know, it's not simple to paskin like Ravashi. You know, you do have a number of Amorim against him. You have even the Gemara saying, Ravibi Bar Abaye Kafet, he was also pretty late, but you have, you know, Rav Malchia, the Gemara quoting, and Ravibi Bar Abaye, and he quotes the name of Rada Bar Ahava. These, you know, and Rav Ashi says, Makasa Mochia Chalav, says the Menchas Chinuch, if the Rambam wouldn't say anything, I would think there's an issue, perhaps an Issur Durabanan, and therefore the Rambam doesn't say it. You know, this is always the question when something is omitted.
In other places also like this? That
I think it's proof? A matter of Sfara. You see, I mean, it's a... And this definitely shouldn't go on the recording. Maybe I'll have to cut this out, but it's important for the discussion nevertheless. You know, I once had a discussion with Rabbi Shurkin. We were learning Givamah, so we learned the Sogya of Shalosh Nashim. Shalosh Nashim is the birth control Sogya of Shas, about when women, you know, are supposed to stop themselves from getting pregnant, or can stop themselves from getting pregnant by using a moch, which is basically an early contraceptive device. How exactly it worked was a matter of machlokes rishonim in and of itself, and that's not what the shir is about. But Shulchan Aruch mentions nowhere a psak like any of the sides in the argument. Shulchan Aruch does not pass in lahalacha what we should do in this case. And the argument there, you know, first and foremost is under which circumstances. The Gemara says that three nashim are mishamshos b'moch.
Right.
Now, mishamshos is a machlokas rishonim. What does it mean? Does it mean that they are allowed to use birth control? Or does it mean that they are absolutely required to use birth control? Because these are cases where the woman will become endangered if she gets pregnant. And the Gemara's examples are, again, someone who's very young, someone who's pregnant, you know, those are the cases there. So, according to some Rishonim, you know, there's a machlokas in that Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan as to what the halacha will be. Will the halacha be that you have Shomer Pesayim Hashem, and that basically you have the right to say, you know, God protects fools, enough people are doing it, it's okay, you know, I'm halachically permitted to take this dangerous or risky, you know, chance? Or the other opinion would say no. Now, again, in how you read the machlokas, it can either be a machlokas of you absolutely must use birth control versus you're allowed to not use birth control. That's one way of seeing the machlokas there, and again, you can look it up in Yavamos afterwards. The other version of the machlokas is one says it's prohibited to use birth control, and the other one says in these cases it's permitted. Now, based on a certain read in the Rishonim, Rabbi Shurkin proposed in Shir that there was a sheet amongst the Rishonim that said, with these three women, it's required to use birth control, and for all other women, it would only be permitted. But this would be at any time, for any reason. And this was, you know, a read that he found in one of the Rishonim. Again, I don't want to go through the whole sugya now.
Right.
But, you know, so he basically, somebody basically asked him, he said, so what would the halacha be? He says, well, Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin it. So someone told him, well, it's so obvious Shulchan Aruch didn't have to write it. It's so obvious that it's prohibited to use birth control that Shulchan Aruch didn't have to write it. So he says, oh, and Shulchan Aruch didn't have to write about Avodah Zarah and Shabbos? So that was his response. Meaning, he said, if Shulchan Aruch doesn't write it, it means he doesn't usher it. On the other hand, the mainstream approach to this is, it's still going to be prohibited. Why? Following the logic of other halachos that are laid out, it should be prohibited. Meaning, if you look at certain other halachos in Shulchan Aruch, the way that they were formulated in terms of danger, and you look at other halachos in Shulchan Aruch in terms of the way they were maybe related to Otzar Asar Lebatala, which is another issue that touches on this as to exactly what's going on, therefore, you can assume that what would the Shulchan Aruch say in this case, based on the principles in similar halachos that he's laid out. Not to see across Shulchan Aruch if something is omitted, what does he hold? But to look at based on what we know. So based on what you know from the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch reads the Rambam and says, I think this would fall into some issue of Ksoves Kaka. Therefore, from the fact that the Rambam doesn't permit it, I would think that it's prohibited. The Beis Yosef, on the other hand, says, no, if you read the Rambam and you look at the case of Efer Makle, of course that's not considered a tattoo. It may be a concern of what? Maris Ayin, says the Beis Yosef would be understanding. Therefore, if I can just finish this thought and then we'll get to the question. Therefore, the Beis Yosef would say, there's no issue. Because if there was a concern of Maris Ayin, that's something external. The Rambam should have mentioned it. The Menchas Chinuch say, no, this is internal to the halacha. The Rambam would have had to tell us that it's mutter. Yes.
So, this is a game of, this is sort of jeopardy. Logically, the way I see it, is if it's not mentioned, it means it's mutter, which is what others have said. The people that want to say it's usur, based in their opinion, they want to say it's usur, and so now they have the onus of how to work it out to get what they want as the answer. Because it's not an easy fit. It's not an easy fit here, and in the other case that you gave, it's not an easy fit, but it's the answer they want as the final answer.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I simply don't think that's the case. I really think it's a matter of perspective of whether or not you feel that it's part of the halacha. By the way, I will note that in general, you know, Rabbi Shurkin's opinion is not very pro-birth control, just a disclaimer after the fact. I didn't mention that.
You're going to take that away anyway.
But, okay. But I do believe it has to do with the way they understand the halacha from seeing it inside. Would you assume that it's mutter? Would you assume that it's aser? Does not depend on a general rule of silence. I don't think that's what they would say.
It would be a question of looking at the Rambam, and I'm not an expert in this, to see where else he has omitted halacha, and then to see how we would hold. Not to make an assumption, but to find other exceptions.
Right.
Okay, I mean, that's...
There has to be a logical pattern. He was a very logical man, right?
No, I'm assuming that when someone is omitting a halacha, it's because they understand that you can get it from what they wrote. The Rambam was certainly aware that this was in the Gemara. It's a huge discussion. It's, you know, three or four times over Shas.
Right.
The Rambam's saying, I'm giving you the tools. I'm not going to tell you every case that exists. Clearly, he felt from what he wrote in here, it could be inferred what halacha was. And the Minchas Chinuch is inferring one way, and the Beis Yosef is inferring another way. That's what I would argue. I don't think it's a matter of, let's look at all the halachos that the Rambam omitted across Mishneh Torah, and see if in general they're mutter, or in general they're usher, or they're completely split, and we can't find out.
It depends whether we have something any similar type of discussion where the Gemara says one thing, right? He doesn't quote it, and some people say it's usher, some people say mutter, and try to understand the Gemara, you know, what's going on there. That's all I'm saying.
Right, but I think that would be a local discussion as opposed to comparative discussion for a shita of the Rambam.
Okay.
That's how I would understand, right. And I believe that's why the Beis Yosef and Minchas Chinuch end up arguing.
Right.
But, you know, certainly it would be interesting to do that.
Logically, you know, whether it is.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to see that if there was, you know, a method for the Rambam, or if in each case he just said, you know, I think you can figure it out. And the truth is there's not really any way to know.
Right.
Because we still won't know what the Rambam holds unless he wrote it somewhere else in Parashat Mishnayos or a Tshuva or something.
Are you friends with Jimmy?
Jimmy Diamond?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Just ask him.
Oh, yeah?
Not a bad idea. Okay, anyways. I know him by reputation as being a scholar of Rambam. Okay. Let's get on to Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, which is really all of our discussion. I see we will not get through a lot of this today, much less than I thought. Says Shulchan Aruch, first of all, just see how he paskins for all of us. Ksoves Kaka, and this is pretty much following the Rambam, pretty much following the Gemara, pretty much following the Mishnah. Ksoves Kaka, Hanush is so reit al bisaro, malei makom hasrita bechol odyo, osher tziv onim haroshmim. Pretty straightforward. You have to do both. Mutar litein efer makal amakasun, we skip to Sif Gimel. And he says it's completely permitted. That's all his words that the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, here's where suddenly everything that we've said until now gets completely shattered. Says the Shach in Osbav, why is it permitted to put Efer Makle on a wound? Says the Shach, very simple. Dimakasa mochiach alav. As Rav Ashi said,
right,
his wound proves it. She'eino ose mishum chukos ovde kochavim ela lerefuas hamaka.
He doesn't hold like the Miri or anything like that.
So right now he just said, what's the reason why it's permitted?
Right.
It's a permission given within Hilchos tattooing. He says, the fact that it's on a wound shows that why are you doing it? What's your reason for doing it?
Not for Avodah Zarah.
Not for Avodah Zarah. Therefore it's permitted. Implications of the Shach. Implication of the Shach is not quite holding like Rav Shimon, but somewhat holding like Rav Shimon. Implication of the Shach is, I want to go get a tattoo because I think it looks nice. Am I doing that, you know, mishum chukos ovde kochavim? I don't think so. I can tell you I'm not. If I'm getting a tattoo because I think it, you know, I want to get a tattoo on my shoulder or something of who knows what. Okay, let's stop here. That's what's going to happen. And this is very strange because on the one hand, he's not saying that you didn't write the name of an Avodas Kochavim. Obviously, that would be impossible in the case of Efer Makla. Unless you got a really, boy, a really strange, you know, maka that looked exactly like the name of an Avodah Zarah. I mean, that would never happen, right? So,
but that's why he's saying it's permissible, because based on...
So he doesn't have to say that then. He should just say, it's not the name of an Avodas Kochavim. He says, from the fact that you're using it for refua, it's not because of Chukos Ovdi Kochavim. And this would seem to imply that, again, first of all, that's the whole concern of Hilchos tattooing. And this is just a mind-blowing Shach, because who ever heard of such a thing? But you know what? The Shach is not alone. Let's take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva in a very interesting comment from the Me'il Tzedakah, who's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva. No idea.
Okay.
I didn't look it up. I apologize.
No, that's not. I'm just asking.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Sometimes the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a lot of people I never heard of.
Yes, that's certain. I mean, I don't know who you've heard of, but I can tell you that certainly I've never heard of many of the people that Pesachei Tshuva quotes. Although the other Pesachei Tshuva, which tells us that the case of Evan, you know, I don't want to get into that. Okay, this Pesachei Tshuva here, Os Aleph. Ein Vishos, Ein Vishos, Mi'il Tzedakah, Siman Lamad Aleph, Shenistapik, Bidin Kesoves Ka'aka, who is unsure about the Halach of Kesoves Ka'aka, Le'inyan Chiyuv Malkus, does one get Malkus when? Iba'inan Sheyehebo Osios, Asher Him Muskamim, okay, does it need to be, and this is the Shita of the Smak from amongst the Rishonim, the Sefer Mitzvah, Mitzvos Katan, okay, is one of the sort of middle Ashkenazi Rishonim, and Inema Demischaya Vesrita Be'alma, O Ezo Roshim Sheyiyah, meaning, does it have to be, he says, letters that actually write something, or can it be any sort of cutting, any sort of mark that you make? Meaning, if there's just a line, doesn't make a letter, or something squiggly, or a picture, or whatever. Ulasof ha'elan, and that tshuva, you know what he comes out? Deba'inan ksav osios mamish. You actually will need letters. Halacha lamaisa. He says you need letters as tattoo. Not going within Rishimon, Shimon, going within the Rabbanan. Purely within the Rabbanan. Ela disag yafilu ba'os achas. But that you only need one letter, meaning we don't compare it to Hilchos Shabbos.
Deraisa, right?
Deraisa, this is to give you Malkus.
Right.
To Rabbanan, obviously, it's going to be prohibited else, you know, in a different way. V'had de Amru, and now he has a question. What about Makaso Mochiach Alav? Lekaman, right, Sif Gimel, and this that we say Makaso Mochiach Alav in Sif Gimel, says the Pesachei Tshuva, and, you know, in the name of the Me'il Tzedakah, Yesh Lomar Demikol Mako Midrabanan Aser. Why do you need Makaso Mochiach Alav? To get rid of the Dirabanan there, meaning the tattooing of not letters is Dirabanan. Makasa Mochiach Alav proves to you that what? It lets you off the hook for your Dirabanan. Meaning you can see that it's not a tattoo. Meaning, presumably the Durabanan that would be left over is, again, is some Durabanan of Tetu, and that would be mitigated by the fact that it's clearly being done for Rafua. That's the way he's understanding. Inami, and here is the shocking part. Right, we just read the Shach. Be'emes, demairi be'emes be'im shetihye tsuras makaso ke'en os. Says, again, the Pesach Tshuva, quoting the Mi'il Tzedakah, it's talking about where the guy fell down and unfortunately he got a big cut and it looked exactly like a letter, a weird scrape. It looked like an aleph, it looked like a, I don't know, a C.
I mean, almost any scratch and stuff, I can tell you, well,
if you look at it like this,
it's like a Philippine, you know, like it's Chinese or it's Persian or it's this and this, a line like this. I mean, you know, it's kind of absurd, you know.
Right, but his point is not to say that. I think he would say that it's discernible.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, I know.
A discernible letter. But the point is, even if that were to happen, kamash malanda afilu hachi shari, you have a deoraisa concern. Deoraisa, right? He says one possibility is that it's telling you the derabanan's okay because if you're doing it to l'refua. Now he's telling you, you know what? Even if you would have it like an os deoraisa, kamash malan, it's still mutar shemakasa mochiach alav ad kan devarav. That's what he says. This is his conclusion. This is actually, again, a pretty strong support, or at least another shita, that seems to hold like the way we understand the Shach. Meaning to say that the whole idea of the fact that you're doing it for refua completely gets rid of the whole concern of Ksovis Kaka. The problem is the ramifications of that seem to be against everything else that we know, in that, you know, it's not just about doing it for Avodas Kochavim. And that would be an easy sfara to, again, interpret this Mi'il Tzedakah, who's saying that even if it would be Ke'en Os, it would still be mitigated by the fact that you're doing it L'Refua. So this is something very interesting. Now, what I quoted here is...
And the Rambam doesn't quote that at all, right?
And the Rambam does not mention it. He says this is why they used to do it. So some people try to make peace between the Shach and the Rambam and the Pesach Tshuva and create a hybrid shita so that's somewhere between Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, and they try to say, well, really from the fact that Rambam wrote that that's why people do it, so that's the reason for it, so if you don't do it for that reason, then it's completely mutter, like the Shach says. But that's a very tough read. You read the Rambam, that's not what he's saying. He says that's what they used to do, and maybe, right, the Rambam does this in Moreh Nevuchim, right, in terms of Taima Dekra, of Shorashi HaMitzvah,
right.
The Rambam, the Chinuch, and the Chinuch mentions this reason as well, because that's what people used to do, therefore the Torah makes a rule. Right? The Torah makes a rule based on a concern from society. Meaning, idolaters used to do this. The Torah makes a rule. Now that rule is not dependent on whether or not you do it for idolatry. If so, what do we call that? Avodah Zarah. These are extra, external rules. Similar to the Rambam's famous explanation of Korbanos. Right? Again, sort of responsive in a sense to what nations around us were doing. So it's very hard to read the Shach as accurately representing a Shita and the Rambam to say that if you're not doing it for Avodah Zarah purposes, then it's completely mutter. It's just a very, very tough Shach. This whole tshuva here, which, you know, we're getting close to the end here, you're welcome to look through it. What he does is he goes searching through all the halachic literature he can find, and comes up with all sorts of different reasons why Efer Makla is Drabanan. It's very interesting. We'll outline a couple of them.
Why does he want to do that? Does he have a reason? He usually has a...
So he's trying to figure out a particular case. Yes, it's a tshuva that he's trying... Correct, that he's trying to find out about. Gestetner, I think his name was.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it one of the Gestetners,
yes.
Right?
Okay, there we go. Yichus.
No, not here. No.
Oh. Okay. I thought it was one of you guys.
No.
It got me scared if I'm about to bash him or something. I have nothing to bash him about, really. Just some things to think about.
A few years ago, he was.
Some things to think about. So first, his first approach is to say that it's not an Isra Doraisa. You know why? Says, read the Rambam.
But what was the Charlotte? He always has a Charlotte.
He's talking about tattoos for Noi. That's where he comes out at the end. It's a particularly different case. I don't remember the exact details of the case. But you'll see it a couple of times where it comes up that he's saying, you know, for that wouldn't make it mutter in our case.
Yeah, back up a sec.
Yes.
He said, see the Rambam?
Yes.
So what does he see in the Rambam? The Rambam doesn't write about it.
So he's not talking about Efer Makle. He says, if you read the Rambam, what does the Rambam say is Doraisa, and what does the Rambam say is Drabanan? If you do both cutting and writing, it's Doraisa. If you don't, it's Drabanan. So he says, therefore, very simple, right? Mivor deleka ela iser doraisa ela kisha asa shnei devarim. Srita bikakua. Aval benosin efer makalamaka halo ihu lo asa shum srita. Vafti ika kain srita shenasa al yide hamaka vuhumil otseva eno over iser doraisa kevan chalo asa ksoves dahainu srita. Meaning the Rambam says you need to do ksoves and you need to do kaka. Right? And it's unclear how he's learning that ksoves, I mean, whatever. It seems to be that the Rambam learns, right, kasa visrita, that the actual making a scratch or cut is under ksoves, and the filling with color is under kaka, unlike others, but that's okay. And he says that's why it's going to be mutter. And he says, and it should have still been aster kaza of maris ayin, and he connects the two. He says that's why he tells you makasa mochiach alav, right? Now, he's still willing to learn the shach, by the way, shockingly, as saying that that's why there's no concern of Maris Ayin. I have no idea how he read the Shach that way. That I will say. If you look right over here, Uviyaru HaShach, Demakasa Mochiach Alav Sheinu Osa Mishum Chukas Ha'akum, Ela Lirfuas HaMaka, V'lachin Laka Mishum Maris Ayin, V'lo Chashinu Sheniris Kiksoves Kaka. We don't assume that it's like Ksoves Kaka. There's no Maris Ayin because Min HaTorah, there's no Isser at all, and therefore, again, the fact that it's Chukas Ha'akum, that's not at all what he should have said. He said, from the fact that you can see he's doing it for health, and not trying to do it to make a roshan, is what the Shach should have said. I don't know how he's reading the Shach, but that's beside the point. Fine. Very interesting here is, this would be one reason why it would be Drabanan. Again, in order to defend the Pesach Tshuva, you'd have to say, in this approach, the Pesach Tshuva that he said that you could have a D'oraisa concern.
Right.
If it was Tsuras Maka, that would be because he would say that the cut that you have...
Right.
Is, you know, going to count as, you know, your srita. And unlike what he's suggesting in the tshuva, where he says you have to do both the cutting based on the Rambam and the actual filling, the Pesach tshuva, again, in the Me'il Tzedakah would say that it's just about having it last. It's just about the final effect. So if you have the cut and you fill it in with dye, then that's still doing the lasting effect. That would still be a concern of a D'oraisa. He brings also some other ideas here. And listen to what he says here. The Sefer Get Pashut, this is in the second paragraph that I have, Ela de'adayin yesh la'ayin. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So if you follow there, and we'll conclude in, again, just a couple of minutes with this. Ela de'adayin yesh la'ayin b'hadam b'vor b'shulchan aruch yoredeya. But you know, we should still look into this, as it says in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, something which we didn't quote, but a very interesting halacha nevertheless. Haroshem al avdu shelo yivrach. Someone makes some sort of mark on their eved with a tattoo in order they shouldn't escape. It's still going to be prohibited. And
this is a Neved Knani?
So this is the note, Pesachei Tshuva, according to the note of Yehuda, says that this is talking about an eved Shemol V'Taval already, who's going to be considered Jewish. That's why there's an Isra Lechatchila. But if it was just purely an eved Knani and someone who's not Jewish at all, Gizunta Heit, go and write whatever you want on him. Okay? Now, here's what he says. Because of the Sefer Get Pashut...
Wouldn't that take away from the whole concept of Avodah Zarah? We're trying to not, you know... If the whole basing, you know, in terms of the whole thing is conceptually, because it some way or another comes back to Avodah Zarah, what's the difference if it's a Neved or a Goy or whatever?
You know, so,
they're still commanded in terms of Avodah Zarah. What's the difference?
Okay, so I would counter by saying in reality, it's not a concern of Avodah Zarah. First of all, again, the Rambam could say Taima Dekra, right? The Rambam could say as much Taima Dekra as he wants. That's not a reason to say that this is anything other than given to the Jews. I'm sorry. Obviously, yes, if you're writing on your Eved, L'shem Avodah Zarah, that's a problem. But that's a problem of Avodah Zarah. But just saying that there is, you know, again, something that you're doing to a non-Jew, which has zero relevance to Avodah Zarah, because once upon a time they used to do it as Avodah Zarah, and that's why the Jews were given a mitzvah, to avoid things that are like that, to say that's an issue.
So it's a specific thing for a Jew. Okay, I understand. All right.
Yeah. As someone said, you know, right. If you came up to a guy and shaved off a guy's payas, would someone yell at you? Of course not. What guy's payas? It's the same thing. But anyways, here's what the Get Pashut says, B'tam Abdur, D'lo chiyeva Torah ela kishe osek soves ka'aka mishum haksiva gufa. The Torah is only mechayev you when you make a tattoo for the sake of writing. Kimo she'asu ha'goyim b'chukosehem. as the non-Jews used to do, meaning in some sort of writing. Aval b'oseh chosam be'eved shelo yivrach pater. But when you make this roshim, v'havei kedin melacha she'ena tzricha legufa o kedavar she'en miskavein. Here's he pulls out a whole Shabbos rule book. If you know, because if you're doing it just, you know, to mark them, but not as writing, then it's going to be pater. It's going to be aser still lechatchila, but you're going to be pater for it. You know, and then he goes back, the Lahoras Nasan, to say that's ridiculous, and that's ridiculous, and that's ridiculous, and that's ridiculous. He quotes the Minchas Chinuch saying, Shekasav alaget pashut v'tzarach iyon. You know, he's not very happy with this. There's this nice summary at the end, which we're not going to go through. I'd just like to suggest one thing for the Shach. Again, it's very hard to understand where the Shach could possibly pull this from, that if it's not for the intention of Avodah Zarah, then, you know, it's not going to be a problem. One possibility is to say that he is learning Pshat in the Rambam, not that in order to be over on Ksoves Ka'aka do you need to be having Kavana L'Shem Avodah Zarah, but it has to be absolutely clear that you aren't. And what is some way that people would do that? They would write something. Now, we don't know what a person is thinking when he's tattooing. When he's sitting, you know, in the chair and whatever they do, or, you know, with a needle, it's not clear why he's doing it. So he would perhaps be learning that the pshat is that it has to be super clear why you're not doing it. If, you know, someone looking at it as an outsider could say, hey, maybe he's tattooing himself for Avodah Zarah, we don't know why, that's going to be an issue. But if it's so clear from the circumstances that it's not being done L'Shem Avodah Zarah, for example, in a Makkah case, then that would be a reason to permit it. That's one sort of approach that you can glean from different places.
But it gets back to my question in terms of an effort. What's the difference? I mean, if I'm doing something to the thing, the guy said, you know what? Okay, it's on another person, right? But I'm doing it for Avodah Zarah. How do you know it's not for Avodah Zarah? He's doing that tattoo for that person, for that thing. I mean, it could be Mar Sayan, could be Nepir, worry. Or as he says here, it's like he's numbering him, right? To make sure he doesn't escape.
Right.
Like the, you know, they used to put this up. Okay, I understand that. But still, you know, it's like arguing close to what the reason
right.
for
I mean,
it.
Right, I mean, listen, this shach is hard to understand. I'm not going to deny that. I just think that when he says, chukos hagoyim, he could perhaps be relating to something also along the lines of this get pashut. That he's not trying to say again, sheino osem, you know, l'shem oved kochavim. He's saying he's not even doing it like the chukos hagoy. Meaning, what was the iser of ksoves kaka? Was a chukos hagoy type iser. Meaning, the goyim did it for what? For Avodah Zarah. So we're not going to do the chukos hagoy of tattooing at all. So here when he says, she'eno osam yishum chukos ovde kochavim, he would say, again, the fact is you can see you're not even doing, right? You know, a tattooing type action. Again, these are all hard reads. And therefore, again, you could read him more into this Maris Ayin type case. So long as you can say the chukos of de kochavim is not about talking about what your intentions are. It's clear that your intentions are not about kochavim, but this is more about your actions. Right? Mishum, right? Makasam ochiach alav sheinu osam mishum chukos of de kochavim. You're not doing tattooing. You're doing fixing your makah. And again, it all depends on the read of Chukos of Dukham, but I don't have any final answers on this to tell you, wow, I've came up with a miraculous solution to the Shach, and everything is fine. And Andy, I don't have that, you know, I don't know of an easy way to get out of the Shach. I certainly don't understand how he read it over here, to be honest with you, that has to do with Maris Ayin. You know, what he said in the Lahoras Nasan, I can't, you know, understand how he read the Shach that way. But on the other hand, you know, this does give you a bit of an insight into cases like this of tattooing. Going back to our original case, where we had the, filling in the wounds for these people who are having some sort of issue, if you're going to rely on the Shach and say, Makasa Muchachas Alav, and the whole purpose is really Misfara, that you're clearly not doing it for Avodas Kochavim, you're clearly doing it to get better, then you will be off the hook.
That's,
I mean, that's
wrong with cancer patients. They do.
Yes, like similar things. I've heard of, yeah, similar things. Right. On the other hand, if you're saying it's clearly not tattooing, which was one other potential read of the Shach, but certainly what would fit me spar with other people, in this case, you're kind of tattooing. Meaning when you're rubbing Afer Makla on your wound, so you can say that's Makasa Muchachas Alav, they're not tattooing. Here you've still got the same materials, the same needle, the same ink. it may be harder to apply such a svara. I don't think there is any question that it's mutter for a whole host of reasons that don't relate to this shir at all. There are reasons of kavod brios and refuah and
you used to brand people. Branding is a form of tattooing, no?
Right.
You just don't put on the word thing. Is that only Rabbanan? You know, you brand a cap. I'm just saying, is that tattooing or branding? Is branding differently?
Right, I didn't see branding discussed. I mean,
No, but that's like just making scratches without filling it in. But it
right. But it does leave a mark forever. I mean, you're certainly dealing with Rabbanan in that sense.
Right.
But how does modern tattooing work? Are they etching or are they just coloring within the skin?
They have to go into the skin with the needle. Right. Meaning you can't do anything on the surface. It has to be under the surface. That's scratching, despite the fact that blood may not leave. I don't know if it leaves or not.
Right.
But you're clearly making a puncture wound to enter and filling in stuff under the skin where you've carved out your...
In other words, on a tattoo, I haven't had the experience or anything, obviously, or to see someone with. Is it raised? Like, do you feel... It's above the skin. I mean, part of this is about etching. It's about leaving a mark in the skin.
And
not just the coloring.
It says that tattoos are a form of body modification where a design is made by inserting ink, dyes, and pigments, either inedible or temporary, into the dermis layer of the skin.
Yeah, right. So it's into the skin. But I don't think it matters whether it's raised or not. The point is not that you're leaving damage. The point is you're leaving a mark. You're leaving something visible. I don't think it matters whether the ink that's inserted underneath lifts up your skin 1 millimeter and you can feel it. Why should that make a difference?
I'm just looking at the Rumba who's saying if you don't etch and you just color, is different than if...
But etch is simply to make a well that you can fill with color.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether it's raised or not. I don't think the halacha would change either way. I really don't. But anyways, food for thought, certainly. And you're welcome to peek through the... Laharos Nasan is a fascinating piece in general.
Can you send that to us? We have it, right?
Yeah, it's on the source sheet.
Okay.
Anyways, he talks about the idea of letters at the end there, I believe. He talks about, he quotes a Sholem Eshev who says something similar to the way some people understood the Shach, and says, Rak Bekosev L'Shem Avodah Zarah. Yeah, again, he says, and yes, you're welcome to look at all this stuff. Thank you very, very much.